You need some water, Earl? You got some? Okay. Don't drink too much because the bathrooms are down.
Amen.
Because the water leak out there. We have no water here now. Brittany and Richard, y'all come up here, please. Amen. Everybody's like, oh, no. Y'all need to calm down. Everybody know who this is?
Yes, Richard and Brittany.
What do they do?
They're the next gen leaders.
They are the next gen leaders. So that means they're over kids and over youth.
Amen. Yes.
And if that ever changes, you will hear me say it.
Amen.
All right. So if somebody else says it, I wouldn't listen to them unless you hear it come out of my mouth.
Amen.
Everybody got that?
Yes. Amen.
All right. Thank you. Thank y'all. Amen. All right, let's turn over to Philippians 4, please. What's that? Yep. It'd be all right. Philippians 4, 19, please. Amen. I'll pray and we'll get started. Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, and magnify your holy name. And we thank you for another opportunity to gather around your word with like believers and to feed our faith, and not just our faith, but also our spirit, man, Father God. I thank you, Father God, not my will this evening be done, but your will, because you know what's best for this congregation right now. I don't. As Ricky, I have no idea what they need individually. But thank you, Father God, for the teacher. The Holy Ghost, the one that you sent, the helper, the standby, the advocate, amen, the strengthener. But more or less, but the more we're standing on right now, the helper and the teacher, Father God. I thank you for bringing light, illumination, revelation this evening to not only help this congregation, but Father God, also myself and also the people listening by whatever that's called that we're on. And we thank you for it, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody agreed, said amen. Amen. All right. We're going to be talking about, I think, more or less healing. So Philippians 4:19, we all know it says, but my God, King James, shall supply all your what? According to whose riches? Where at, though? In glory. By Christ Jesus. In glory. I'll just make some statements real fast. But my God obviously shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, right? In glory, it's the unseen realm, correct?
Yes.
Unless you have you just see in the spirit realm, and then you'll be able to see it. Because the thing is, we're so focused on natural things that we don't even realize that there's two different realms. There's the glory realm, the spirit realm, and the natural realm. Because whenever you die, where do you think we're going? Spirit realm, because you will no longer be in this body. Right? The spiritual realm. Moving on. Amen. So in the unseen realm, faith grabs hold of it. In the unseen realm, right?
Yes.
And then it brings it over into the seen realm, correct?
Yes.
What's Hebrews 11, 6, 8, or 11, 1. Yes, 1, I don't know why, 6 is, what is 6? I'd have to look it up now. So then faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what? Things not what?
Seen.
So then that's things that you're unable to see, but you're grabbing a hold of them by faith, right?
Amen.
You're pulling them over into the seen room.
Yes.
All you will ever need until you step over into glory has already been provided for you.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You just have to receive it. Hebrews 4:2, you can pull that up real fast, please. Hebrews 4:2. This is what Brother Earl was talking about. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto who?
Them.
But the word preached did not profit them, not being what? Not being mixed with what? With just assuming? With natural knowledge? With what you see? With what you feel? With what? We're so focused on the natural realm. Amen. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 4:18 real fast, please. While we look not at the things which are what?
At the things which are seen,
but at the, while we look not at the things which are what?
Seen.
But at the things which are not
seen.
For the things which are seen are
temporary.
But the things which are not seen are
eternal.
Amen. Right? Amen. So he's talking about the seen and not seen realm. Everybody agree?
Yes.
Yes, I agree as well. How do we look at something that's not seen? With the eyes of faith.
Yes.
With the eyes of faith. That's how you look at something that's not seen. With the eyes of faith.
Yes.
Because what does Hebrews 11:1 say? Will you pull it up, please? We do quote it. But it's just good to read it, though. Now, faith is the substance. So, number one, it's measurable. Of things hoped for. Hopes for. An earnest expectation, right? Hoped for. The evidence. See, it's the evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of what?
Things not seen.
Amen. Our problem is we're so confined to this seen world or our senses or our feelings until it's difficult for us to believe.
Amen.
Amen. Because we're so bound up by our natural human thinking and our senses. Amen. We might have hands laid on us, you know, to be healed or whatever's going on, or we might pray for ourselves. But we don't feel nothing after we say amen. A lot of people right then say, well, I guess I didn't get it. Right? Because it does say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that you might, that you'll feel, then you'll know you'll have them. That's how we think a lot of times, so. People think I got to go off feelings. If I can't feel it, it's not real. If I can't touch it, it's not real. If I can't see it, it's not real. If it's not tangible, you know, if I can't smell it, hear it, it's not real. Well, who said? Who said? Because we got so focused to doing everything naturally that we just kind of just left the spirit realm to its own, right? But you got to... I know this is a little different tonight, but we'll get there. Amen. Go over to Romans 10 real fast, please. Romans 10, 9 and 10, obviously. Do we have the Amplified Classic? Will you pull it up in that, please? Verse 9. Yep. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart you what?
Believe.
Adhere to, trust in, and rely on what?
The truth.
That God raised him, Jesus, from the dead, you what? Next. Well, go back, please. It's interesting. Now, a couple things here. It says, because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Next.
Amen.
For with the heart a person what?
Believe.
Not the natural blood pumping heart.
Right.
correct? It's your spirit man.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Amen.
Well, we don't have a spirit man. Yes, we do. There, I believe the doctor, it's either Texas or Tennessee. He's wrote a few books, actually. And he said every time he's brought somebody back that's died on his table, that was not saved, they always came back screaming and yelling, saying, help me, help me, help me. Don't let me go. Don't let me go. Help me. Why? Because he was heading down to hell. That's why. He said, but everybody that I brought back to life that was saved, they just came back and he's like, why did you bring me back? Just came back with such a peace. But anybody else that was not saved, amen. For with the heart, a person believes, adheres to, trusts in. Oh, you're just trying to scare me. No, I'm not. Because there's heaven and there's hell. I'm not here to scare you into getting saved, and I'm not here to try to convince you to get saved. That's between you and God.
Amen.
Amen. Just like I had to make the decision to do it, everybody has to make the decision, right? Adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth, he what? Yes. Declares openly and speaks out freely his faith. What does that do? Interesting that it confirms it now.
Yes. Amen.
Now it confirms it. How did it confirm it? Well, faith, but he also declared it with his mouth.
Yes.
See, because, you know, it's like somebody, it's like we was just reading over in 2 Corinthians 4, you know, some people, they're so naturally minded, you know, if they pray over something, well, I don't feel like it worked. Well, what does your feeling have to do with it?
Exactly.
What does feeling have anything to do with prayer? Anything at all? Because I thought we always prayed, and when we said amen, that's when we released faith, right? That's your point of contact. Whenever you say amen, you release what? Your faith, right? That means that you believe that it's come to pass. It will come. It has come to pass. I receive it now. And so it confirms his salvation. So whenever you got saved, did you feel like you got saved?
No.
So how do you know you got saved then? And why do we do it with salvation but not with healing?
Amen.
So we'll believe that Jesus came into our heart when we ask him to come into our heart. We'll believe it even though we don't feel nothing. Right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, some people might feel different. But me, I just, God asked you to come to my heart, forgive me for my sins. In the name of Jesus, amen. Right?
Amen.
Feel just like I do now. Now, over a time, your life will change. Your life will change over time. There's this one man. He ended up getting saved, and he said every morning after he ate breakfast, he had a pack of cigarettes. He'd pull out a cigarette and smoke one right after breakfast, and all of a sudden he realized, huh? And he told his wife, you know what? I ain't smoked a cigarette in a couple days. She said it's been 10. He's like, why am I carrying these cigarettes around then? Throw them away. See, the word God will change your life if you allow it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What was I talking about before I got on this story? Confirms, right? With your mouth, not being natural. Amen.
Amen.
Forgot where I was going with that. Sorry. Amen. We'll get back. Amen. Confirm. I actually looked it up. It means remove doubt by authoritative act or indisputable fact.
Amen.
To remove doubt by an authoritative act or indisputable fact. Amen.
Amen.
You know, like I said about asking Jesus into our heart, right? Going off of feelings. You know, we don't feel like we're saved, but yet we know. Yeah, I asked him into my heart. I know he's in my heart. But when it comes to healing, we pray over you, you release faith. I don't feel like I got healed, though. So I don't guess I got it.
Yeah,
well, why do you think you're saved? You didn't feel like you were saved.
Amen. Amen.
Right? I mean, it works the same way with both of them.
Yes.
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 Amen. And then you can be going along. You could, you know, a lot of people get healed. And then all of a sudden they'll be going along a few weeks down the road and they'll get a pain or something wherever they was just healed. And they'll go, huh, I thought I got healed for that. Well, anybody in their right mind knows you were obviously healed of it if you've been living without pain.
Yeah.
But if we yield to that symptom of pain, then we just accept it back.
Amen.
Amen. Too many times people pray for a feeling instead of results.
Amen.
Right? Too many times people pray for feelings instead of results. What do you mean? Well, they'll pray, and if they don't feel nothing, they won't believe.
Amen.
They won't release faith for it. Mm-hmm. Unless there's a feeling involved, whenever I pray, I'm not going to believe it. And that's how some people operate. Not us, obviously. You might as well smile, play like you're happy. Amen. You know, used to when I'd pray, if I didn't get this little tingly feeling like, whew,
yeah,
I wouldn't think God heard me. Or I wouldn't think it's going to come to pass. Well, what does that feeling have anything to do with me releasing my faith, saying I have it now? Just like with faith. If we didn't get saved unless we all had a feeling, some of us would be, man, I don't know if you saved or not then.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Amen. It's like, and we got to pay attention to songs. You know, obviously, I like the songs we sing, but there's sometimes some of the words. It's like that song I'm famous for. The second verse, it says, I will, what does it say? There is no doubt because I have seen. Why are we going off of seeing to be able to not have any doubt? See, we get focused on these words and we start saying them, but it's just bringing us all back to natural things sometimes. And then that's why it keeps us in the natural, and then we're just bound up in the natural.
Yes.
Right? Because what does me seeing anything have to do with doubt?
Amen.
Amen. I don't doubt because the Word of God says that whatever I pray and release my faith on, it's mine and I have it now. I don't have to see things to be able to believe it. I don't. Because that's not operating in faith, that's operating in seeing.
Yes.
That's operating in our senses,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so let's say that you're wanting to do something, right? And it's a business deal. And you feel good about it. Has anybody ever did one of those?
Yes.
This is good. This is good, I'm going to do it. And you felt good about it, yeah. And then just no time later, it just went bottoms up. Bam.
Yes.
Did we ask God about it, or did we just go off of a feeling?
Amen.
There's this one guy. He's an investor, right? He turned $50 into millions of dollars. But whenever somebody would bring him an idea for a business or they'd bring him something to invest in, he'd always go in his prayer closet and pray for at least three days to find out it might have been sooner, it might have took 3 days, but he'd always get his answer. And he said, and every time somebody would bring me something, my natural self would be like, you would be stupid not to invest in that. That thing is going to make you some money. That's the best deal we've ever heard. You need to do that right now. And he said, I went and prayed about it, but my spirit man, I just, nah, don't do it. And so he said, I wouldn't do it. And then just a few months down the road, that business just went bankrupt. He said it happened more than once. And then he said, somebody would bring me an idea. And he said, my natural man self would be like, you would be stupid to invest anything into that. Look at this. Are you crazy? But he'd go and pray about it, ask God, God, should I invest in this? And he'd get the check of, yeah, go ahead. He said, and I'd invest, and it'd just make me money hand over fist.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Turn over real fast, please, to Matthew 8:17, please. You can pull it up in the King James. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He's talking about Isaiah 53:4-5, right? Yes, I agree. Prophet saying himself took our infirmities and bare what?
Our sicknesses.
Turn over to 1 Peter 2:24, please. Amen. 1 Peter 2:24.
Amen.
1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye what?"
Were healed.
Is were future tense or past tense?
Past tense.
You were healed.
Yes.
So if I'm trying to get healed, is a wrong statement. For me to try to catch a healing, that means it's flying out here somewhere and you're trying to chase it down.
Yes.
So why are you trying to chase something down? It already belongs to you. And that's why I read Philippians 4:19 at the beginning. Everything that you will ever need has already been provided for you.
Amen.
And we need to understand that. Has already. Because as Jesus already died on the cross, do we understand what he accomplished that day for us?
Amen.
So see, it was purchased when?
Then
or now?
Then.
It was purchased then. So everything that we need has already been provided for.
Yes.
So why would I try to get something that belongs to me?
Yes. Amen.
That belongs to me, not just me, but you.
Amen.
Because were, is it future tense or past tense?
It's past tense.
Future tense or past tense?
Past tense.
Past tense. So that saying, by whose stripes you were healed, means what?
I am healed.
I am the healed. I am the healed. So why am I trying to get something that belongs to me? See, we've worked off this natural realm so long that it's hard for us to believe some of this. But we're getting there.
Amen.
I am. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Amen. Y'all know that this verse right here, this is an accomplished fact.
Yes. Amen.
Right? This is an accomplished fact. Jesus never promised to heal you. Amen. I know it's just different. It's different for us to listen to. But Jesus never promised to heal you. Because does that say in the future on this one?
No.
When?
Back then.
That was taken care of. So he never promised to heal you. That means future tense.
Yes. Amen.
Because we are healed, right?
Yes.
According to the word, it's not what Ricky says, Pastor Ricky says. It's according to the word of God. It says, by his stripes ye were healed.
Yes.
You are healed.
Yes.
You are healed.
Amen.
One place where people misplace their faith is, I know God promises to heal me. And then they might quote this one, or they might quote Matthew 8:17 or Isaiah 53:4-5. But God never promised to heal you. He
Amen.
Healed you.
Amen.
You are the healed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's not a promise. That's a statement of fact, right? We have to believe it, receive it, and accept it as a statement of fact as something he has already done.
Yes.
Amen. All we have to do now is receive it, right? Not catch it
Amen.
Or anything like that, or run after it, or I'll get it one day, or maybe hopefully before I die.
Yeah.
Right? After people were prayed for, have they ever said they were healed? I'm not asking you to speak out loud, but ask yourself that question. After I prayed over myself for healing, whenever I said amen, did I go, hallelujah, thank you, God, I am healed?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And then continue to walk around, even though you still might have symptoms in your body.
Yes,
go, thank
amen.
You, God. For my healing. I am healed.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for what you accomplished that day on the cross.
Amen.
What you bore, I don't have to bear. I don't have to bear this. This is not from you. This is from Satan. So I'm not going to receive it. So I thank you. I am healed.
Amen.
I am healed. Right?
Amen.
Once people are prayed for, they have to perform the act of receiving their healing.
Amen.
Amen. A couple things real fast, and then I'm going to let Brother Clint talk to you. Let me go over. I'll skip that. We could confess healing scriptures all day long, but it's not going to do nothing. I know. Just confessing a fact isn't, it won't change us until we make the confession of, I receive it.
Amen.
So just confessing, by his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. That's not going to change nothing in your life until we make the adjustment of, I receive it.
Yes.
It's not just saying the scripture, but it's saying, thank you God, I receive it. Yes. It's mine and it belongs to me.
Amen.
And just staying with it. Not backing up from it. Not getting afraid of it. But just standing it face to face and saying, no, I am the healed.
Amen.
I don't have to deal with this pain. I am the healed. I don't have to deal with these legs. I am healed.
Amen.
I don't have to deal with this back. I am healed.
Amen.
And then Satan might try to ask you a question. Yeah, but you look at the symptoms that's going on in your body. Number one, thank God I don't work off of feelings.
Amen. Amen.
I work off of faith in what God already accomplished for me.
Yes.
He sent his son to the cross so that I don't have to bear anything that he bore. Anything that he bore. So, and that's another sermon. Amen. So I don't have to bear any of that. So I am the healed.
Amen.
And just continually stay with it. I am the healed. Every time you take a step, thank you God I am healed. Thank you God I am healed. But sometimes we try to convert back over to the natural, you know, and we do one of these. I've caught myself doing it. That's why I'm going to say this one. Like getting up. Oh, man. Oh, man. Golly, it's going to take me a minute to get to walking. You might start out like that, but don't start talking doubt and unbelief. Just say, it might take you a minute to get up, but just go, thank you, God, I am the healed. Thank you, God, I am the healed. Amen. And continue to move around with it.
Amen.
And it's a continual speaking. Thank you, God, I am the healed.
Amen.
I am the healed.
Amen.
Not I'm going to be.
Amen.
Not I'm going to be. Not this is my sickness. Well, if it's your sickness, you're going to have to hang on to it until you want to get rid of it.
Amen.
That goes with any one of us. Whenever we start speaking things of mine and it's ours, then we got to hang on to it until we realize that we don't have to hang on to it any longer.
Amen.
Because number one, it does not belong to us. Because if it belonged to you, it would have came with you at birth. Well, I shouldn't have said that. That isn't a good word. I shouldn't have said that because somebody might have been born crippled or something. Then they'll go, well, I guess I have to deal with this. No, you don't.
Amen.
No, you don't. So we don't have to deal with nothing that we don't want.
Amen.
I'll say it that way. Anything that Jesus already took care of on the cross, we do not have to deal with.
Amen.
Not any one of us. Y'all remember my sister? Amen. I'm going to stop. I'm going to let you go. Because if I get to going, I'm just going to keep going.
Amen. All right. I'm just going to keep on going where he was going. Well, maybe. We'll see. Let's go back to Hebrews 11:1, if we could. We're going to, I think it's the passion I want to see. What was that? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Back to that. So I've told the story about when I came here. I was crippled. I walked with a cane. A little while after I was here, though, the devil attacked me. It was on a Wednesday night. Devil attacked me. Decided that he was going to give me a little bit of a. I said I won't talk about it. I won't name it, but we'll say I had some symptoms. I ended up in the hospital. And I had been off the cane for years, probably 2 years at this point. Back on the cane I went. My leg was numb again because of the problem that I had that night. That's not mine, so that's why I don't talk about it really that much. And I didn't feel healed. Like what Pastor Ricky's saying. I didn't feel that my body had changed, except for at the time I was weaker. At the time I was slower. Before that time, and I'm quick-witted again, but before that time I was quick with a joke. I was quick-witted. I didn't stumble over words. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And I was praying and I was asking God about that. Why, God, am I still struggling with putting sentences together? Why, God, is my leg still numb? Why, God? And he gave me this. I healed you. And I know exactly when he healed me. He actually healed me the second we crossed over. Well, I was healed back on the cross, but I received my healing the second we moved out of, when we actually crossed over into Vegas, my vitals went normal. Amen. They had spent hours working on me trying to get me normal again, and they couldn't. They had given me tons of medication to bring me back to normal, and it wasn't working. And then it's just God, we got into Vegas, and it was like a switch was flipped, and my vitals were perfect. Amen. Everything was fine. And they did all their workup and everything like that, and from the doctors couldn't find that anything had happened. Right. They did all the tests. They did all the everything, the blood work. I did stress tests. I was there for a week. It was, 3 days. And they couldn't find anything wrong with me but my body, because my body was healed. But the soul part of me, my mind, my will, and my emotions hadn't caught up with what my spirit knew. Amen. And that's what God told me. He's like, your soul hasn't caught up with what your spirit knows. And so a lot of times in that unseen part, when we're struggling with those symptoms, it's real easy to go, well, I still hurt. It must not have worked. And some of that belongs to you. Sometimes we can say, well, maybe I'm not having enough faith. No. That's the devil trying to get you to say, I didn't have enough faith to receive that healing. Because now he has changed the way you're talking, and he has changed the outcome that God has already provided for you. God already said you are healed, right? Right? You were healed back way then. So if I was healed, I am healed. And nothing can change that. Now, we will occasionally have symptoms. You know, when you listen to Brother Hagin, he had symptoms. He said he had opportunity to have a headache, to have a cold. He had, because the symptoms came on him. But he told them, simple as this, you don't get to live here, bud. Here's your eviction notice. You don't get to stay here. Ain't nothing for you here. Y'all just go on, right? And that's where we need to be. We need to know that it has been provided. Gabriel moved out of the house, right? He moved out, and he comes back to the house. And when he comes back to the house, he goes right to the fridge. And he reaches into the fridge, and he eats whatever he wants. Amen. Do you know why he does that? Because he knows it's okay. He knows his parents, shall I say his father. Not that Heather doesn't provide anything, but he knows his father is going to be cool with him going in and getting what's his. Amen. So if the scripture said if you being sinners, right? know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more your Father? How much more your Father? So God already provided your healing for you. All you have to do is get into the proverbial spiritual realm. Jump in the fridge and grab whatever it is that you're looking for. You ain't got to wait for an invitation. Because Gabe doesn't. He doesn't. He might call 10 minutes after he gets there if nobody's home and say, "Hey, I stopped by the house. And I can... Have you been in the fridge? Have you been in the pantry?" He'll come over. He won't even say hi before he's in the fridge. And you know what's funny is when we moved out of Mom's house, I distinctly remember when we moved back from Vegas, I would show up at Mom's and I'd get me some food out of her fridge. That would you believe that is something that God wants for you?
Yes.
Not necessarily food out of your parents' fridge, but He wants you to understand that. There's some things that He put inside of you that's pre-programmed to think like He does.
Yes.
I was listening to Bill Winston knowing that I was going to speak today, and he says, Bill Winston said, God wants to take care of your need more than you want Him to take care of your need. Can you believe that? God wants so much to take care of what you're wanting that it surpasses how much you want it. It surpasses how much you want His help. And I liken that back to my kids. And most of us have had kids at some point or another. Or at least, I do it when the person in the movies, like, I'm rooting for that person, right? But you ever noticed inside of you when your kid is struggling to do something? And you can help?
Yeah.
And you have this, like, overwhelming desire to help.
Yeah.
But you want them to fend for yourself unless they ask.
Yeah.
God put that in you because that's the way He is.
Yeah. Amen.
God sees you. God might see you struggling. He might see it. And He's looking down.
Yeah.
I just ask, watch me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be your hero.
Yeah.
Just ask, watch me fix this.
Amen.
Just ask, watch it. Watch what I can do.
Amen.
And because Dad's got a little bit of machismo, right? And when we fix things for our kids, we make sure they know.
Yeah.
We're like, watch what I can do. I can do it with one hand tied behind my back with my eyes closed.
Yeah.
God wants the same thing.
Yeah.
He's waiting for you just to turn around. And you're not even asking, because if you were healed, you are healed.
Right.
He's just waiting for you to declare.
Amen.
That's mine.
Yep.
Amen.
That's mine.
Amen.
It's mine. Give it to me. It's mine. Give it to me. God is that good to us.
Yeah.
He is that good to us. John 5, verse 3 through 7. So you can pull it up in whatever. I'm still in the TPT. I'm just going to start at verse 1. From Galilee, Jesus returned to Jerusalem to observe one of the Jewish feasts. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, there is a pool called, in Aramaic, the House of Loving Kindness, surrounded by 5 covered porches. Hundreds of sick people were lying under covered porches, the paralyzed, the blind, the crippled, all of them waiting for their healing. All of them waiting for their healing. For an angel of God periodically descended into the pool to stir the waters, and the first one who stepped into the pool after that the water swirled would instantly be healed. Among the many sick people lying there was a man who had been disabled for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that the man had been crippled for a long time. Jesus said to him, "Do you truly long to be well?" The sick man answered, "Sir,
There's no way I can get healed, for I have no one to lower me into the water when the angel comes. As soon as I try to crawl to the edge of the pool, someone else jumps in ahead of me. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your sleeping mat, and you will walk, right? Yeah. But here's the thing. Here's a guy laying there forever, yeah, trying to get healed, trying to catch that healing. Yeah. Sound like some of us, right? Waiting for Jesus to come along. Maybe the pastor come along, a minister. Somebody to say the right word, wave the right hand, whatever it is. Somebody to dunk us in the right amount of water to put us in the right pool. Bless us with the right oil. But if only. If only we knew. He already is for us. Jesus already showed up. He already been at the pool. He's already taken care of everything. If when he died, right? I'm going to read it exactly how I put it here, because this is what God gave me when I was reading it out. We are waiting for Jesus to show up, but he's already showed up. He's already paid it. He's already bore the sickness. He took it on himself and declared, it is finished. So you can say, I am healed. Amen. That's what God did for you. That's what Jesus did when he hung on the cross. When he took the stripes, he took that healing on himself. Yeah. He took all that sickness, everything that would ever be encompassed, right, in sickness. He took it on himself. That way, when he declared, when he gave up his first or his last breath, and he said, it is finished. It was finished. That right then, right there, he paid the price for all your sickness, for all your disease. He took it upon himself.
Amen.
How arrogant are we to have to, that we want to carry it still?
Amen.
That might be a little rough, but who are we to think that we could keep things that God took for us?
Amen.
And it amounts to receiving. Right? Maybe your hands are full with that sickness. Well, throw it at the feet of Jesus and receive your healing. Reach out, grab it. It's there. Say, and you grab it with your words. By declaring, I am healed. No more of the getting back up, like Pastor Ricky was saying, because we've all done it. Oh. Or when you get up in the morning and you're heavy and your feet hurt because when you walk on them, you know, because they're not made for carrying you. But you can complain about it and hobble around if you want, or you can just, I am healed. They don't, my feet don't hurt. There was for a long time when I was, when my back was not healed. It was healed. There for a long time, the devil would try to tell me I was not healed in the morning. Usually when it's cold, right? Because if you've got arthritis, right? I'm just going to leave that there, right? Oh, I could tell it's raining soon. The moisture in the air got me locked up. No. So there was a time where I would lay in bed in the morning. And I could honestly, because I was so, at that time, I couldn't move in the morning. I can lay in that bed all day long if I wanted to. But God had healed me. And so I would just, I'm healed. And I would roll myself out of bed. Now, some of you might think that's because I'm a little bit of a large guy. That's how large guys get out of bed. But it wasn't that. I would roll over, because at the time I couldn't sit straight up, right? I would roll over, and I would dangle my legs off the bed so I could get something underneath me. Yeah. And I just believe in God that I could get up. Yeah. And then I'd get up, and I just keep believing God that I can move from the bed. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you know it, I always was able to move from the bed. God's not about leaving you in sickness to glorify himself.
That's right.
He's not trying to teach you a lesson.
Amen.
That's ridiculous. Because God's not that guy. I have never, and I've raised 2.5 because Ireland's not out of the house. Well, Isaac's not out of the house either, but I'm just joking. But I've raised my boys. They're adults. They're productive members of society. I can't think of a time where I was like, you know what? I'm going to punch them in the stomach just to teach them a lesson. Now, I might have spanked them for being bad. I did. But I ain't never gone out and just, like, on purpose hurt him, twist their arm. You know what? I'm going to hobble that guy just so he knows I can. No. And I'm not an evil. I'm sinful. Well, I was sinful, right? Me being evil. How much better is our Father? So don't let the devil lie to you and take healing that was already paid for. We just got to say it. That's the coolest thing. I am healed. God, I am healed. And when people see you walking around, they're like, oh, you're doing well today. I am healed. I am healed. And it by declaring it in front of people, what was the scripture you had up there? Oh, gosh. Romans 10:10. Confirms your healing. It confirms your salvation, your words. So your words will confirm your healing. I like that. God is good. God every day, all the time. I did have one more thing. Jesus healed, and this goes back to, you don't have to wait for a pastor to come and pray for you. Amen. Jesus healed on 2 occasions. Jesus healed people that weren't in the room with him. Right. In fact, they didn't even ask. Amen. The centurion's son and the Canaanite woman's daughter. Yep. Yeah. And how did Jesus say they were healed? What you have spoken has been done for you this day. What you have spoken has been done for you this day. It's all about what you let come out of your mouth hole. Simple as that. Don't get it twisted. Don't let the devil get you to say something that isn't true. Anything else, sir? All righty. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, thank you so much for the word this evening. Lord God, we just thank you for this time together in your presence, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that you would give us a, Holy Spirit, give us a check whenever we're about to say something that would negate the healing that has been provided in our bodies, Lord God. We praise you, we thank you, and we honor you in all you do. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, Amen. Amen. Y'all have a beautiful night. Good to see you. You're dismissed.